Welcome to the People Will Talk podcast. Here's another episode. Joining me in studio is the mighty Mary. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well, thank you.
And me? I'm fine, thank you as well. Okay. Well, we hope you enjoyed the wonderful episode last time out with Alejandra, who is of Encanto fame. We have a few other interviews lined up with interesting people. But today it's just the dynamic duo talking about different things. Okay, so here we are. We went to Liber 2 weeks ago, which is like a book fair for people in the industry, because we are in the industry with our Ibernia book thing, publishers, that's the word. And we are fully functional. It is an interesting experience so far.
in more ways than one.
So yeah, we went to this thing and we came across this really interesting stall, this company that converts your book. So it's basically you send a PDF or you do it through their website. We did a little sample with a page of one of our novels, and we'll play that in just a moment so you can actually hear what it sounds like. But it's completely AI generated, no human involved whatsoever. And it's male voice or female voice in Spanish or English. And I thought the results were pretty good, I would have to say. But before I kind of wax lyrical about it, I mean, did you think it was good?
Well, you know, I'm always skeptical about this whole thing of AI. But yeah, I was quite surprised in a good way. Funnily enough, I'm sure you'll comment on this. We both thought the other language was better and more natural. So I thought the one in English sounded kind of like more, yeah, more human, more natural. And you thought in Spanish it was better, so...
Well, I mean, no, what we heard on that day was in Spanish and sounded good to me. And then the clip that we'll play in just a moment is in English. And for the most part, it's fine. But then it kind of just very suddenly goes into a very Spanish accent. And then suddenly yes. Goes out of it again.
It's like a Spanish guy reading imperfect English. It's kind of weird how it works.
But yeah, what is interesting is like normally, because we've done this type of work before where we are reading hundreds of sentences for machine learning, basically training AI systems to do it, which they don't seem to have. So they're a small company like we are. And they just...
said it was synthetic, they said.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't quite sure what they meant, so I'd kind of looked at it later. And it's basically that it artificially creates this sound, a sound that sounds exactly like a letter, for example. So it's kind of weird. It's as if you get a xylophone and decide, well, let's play a note and see if it sounds like Enda's voice when he says, like, E.
They can intervene. I think if you mention on this page or this minute of the audio, they can kind of like correct the pronunciation. But it's an amazing thing that they're doing. It shows the wonderful aspects of AI in terms of voices, because I am aware of a famous podcast that I listen to where the voice from one of the guys was really bad for two episodes for whatever reason, technical failures. And AI was able to kind of like do a simulation of his voice and kind of make it sound good. Not perfect, but good. And I'm sure as well there must be applications where somebody's lost their voice for whatever type of illness, and then the AI can reconstruct their voice. So when they're using a voice box like Stephen Hawking or something, it just comes out like their voice and not robotic. So that's the good thing. The bad thing is obviously, you know, someone pretending to be Joe Biden and launching a nuclear attack on Roscommon or Wicklow. But until that happens, we can sing the praises of AI.
Well, there's also the whole thing that I always complain about, that there's somebody losing a job.
That's true.
You know, let's have a mini silence. Your face was like, oh, bugger, we forgot about that. But no, because as like translators are already having problems with that.
Well, I know somebody who works in the music industry, and they're quite happy to have AI singers and musicians, because I think it would remove the trauma of dealing with temperamental artists, you know. So
We know a thing or two about temperamental culture involved people. No, but well, I guess we can agree on saying what we said when we did the AI podcast, which is that in the future all creators, more than like being fighting kind of like against AI, they will have to learn how to work with it.
Well, there was, I think it was a Dublin academic, he was in some Dublin university, and he said, I'm not worried about it, it's just something that we have to learn how to use, it's a tool. He encouraged his students to play around with it and even write essays with it. So, but yeah, that's it. So that's AI, that's our experiences with the audio thing. We're going to play the clip now.
Sacrobosco, containing multitudes. Thomas had arrived at Madrid's observatory. He had already been inside as a visitor, and it was there that he had first heard of Agnes Mary Clark, a pioneering Irish astronomer who had a lunar crater named after her. Her name was etched on a wall in the middle of moon facts and figures. It had no reason to stand out, but his race memory, his DNA, his Irish eyes found her name, and he smiled the smile that had crept across his face that time he found the Gaelic word sleinte, the Irish word for health, on the window of a hostel in Tirso de Molina. He wasn't that far away from home after all, and he might even feel the same if he were stranded on the moon. But he was not there to talk about her just yet. To do it properly, he had to start at the start with Johannes Sacrobosco, a.k.a. John of Hollywood, a.k.a. John of Hollybush, international man of mystery, scholar, monk, and astronomer from the Middle Ages. Sitting in the long corridor that linked the entrance to the projections room, Thomas found an outlet for his computer, plugged it in, opened his laptop, and sat down. Feeling self-conscious about being there, even though he had paid for a ticket, he typed with his eyes unfocused on the screen. He looked left, he looked right, and then decided that if he was going to write about space, then this was the best place in the whole city. Thomas let the embarrassment dissolve, and he opened himself up to this coming together of cement and architecture, this thing that was now a monument to space. Johannes de Sacrobosco came into this world in 1271 in England, a newly arrived baby covered in the fluff of holy hair. His fresh cries pierced the dawn, and his face turned a shade of red. The world was a strange, unfamiliar place, and the young Johannes was still getting used to his new surroundings. The stars in the sky above were fading as the night transmuted into morning, as blue soaked into black, dislodging it. Birds sang on branches, and cows chewed mindlessly on the cud. His mother panted with exhaustion. Johannes was her first child, and if she had her way, he would be her only offspring. The pain, at least in those initial moments, was simply not worth it. Johannes de Sacrobosco was born in 1284 in Scotland, next to a sacred wood.